Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we are again, everybody. Welcome to Mystic 3 Radio. And today we are going to do a show all on intuitive guidance. So we are open to people calling in with their questions or putting your questions on our Facebook page. You can private message us. And until we get somebody who is actually interested, we can really just give a talk about intuitive guidance and, you know, really what it is that we do and kind of how we go about it. So I am Elaine Reed Cole, and I am joined today with my beautiful co-hosts, Dana Zimmerman and Mimi Serfoss. Hi, girls.
Hi.
Hi, Elaine. Hi, everybody out there. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. So, actually, Dana, you want to give people the guest phone call, the guest number?
Yeah, absolutely. To call in to talk to us, to get some intuitive guidance with us today, is the guest call-in line is 914-219-0867. We're also monitoring our Facebook page, which is Mystic 3 Radio, and if you want to post there a question that you'd like the Mystic 3 to give you some intuitive guidance on, we can help you there as well.
Great. Perfect. Oh, and the chat room.
Ah, yes, How do you chat room.
The chat room.
We have a chat room,
and
we can it's there as well.
All right. Perfect. Perfect. So intuitive guidance, how do we actually describe that? You know, between the three of us, you can actually take it way out into the woo-woo area if you want to, or, you know, it can really just be what we might see as common sense. And so we try to help you untangle the tangles that might be running around within your mind. So what would you say is your approach to tapping into your intuitive guidance, Dana?
Well, there's...
trick question.
ways to go about it. You know, I like to get to a place where I have a quiet mind, where I'm pretty centered and feeling neutral and calm. Usually when I'm in a space where I have a quiet mind, my intuitive guidance really does just start to speak to me, and it takes absolutely really no effort at all. I just have to listen. And, you know, at that point, maybe I can ask a specific question, just noticing impressions, interpreting different impressions, and, you know, I like to meditate, and I like to get to that place where I have a quiet mind. If I have some kind of intuitive session to do, I try to get into that quiet headspace before time. I just think it's the best way for me personally to connect with the guidance that I'm looking to hear.
Perfect. Perfect. So, Mimi, how do you go about, you know, really tapping into your intuitive self so that you can actually give intuitive guidance?
Well, I guess I do it really quickly now because I do it back-to-back and all the time with clients. But, I get into what I look at more as a neutral zone, so a neutral receptive state. And then I just wait for information to come. And information comes to me in a variety of different ways. I get visual information, but mostly I tend to translate things into language for myself. And the information that I get or that I'm really very quick and good at understanding is the emotional content of the situation for the person. So I feel and then I hear, and I also deal with a lot of metaphor. So I might, you know, see certain things that I can then transfer metaphorically to the situation.
I think
that speaks a lot to how body talk works too. There's a lot of Chinese medicine has a lot of metaphorical sort of parallels, and so that's a lot of how the information comes to me.
Perfect. I like the way you described it there. For me, it's really all of, you know, the above with that. I think the biggest thing is to get your own self out of the way, like you had mentioned,
mm-hmm.
Mimi. You really do have to be neutral and, you know, leave your baggage at the door, because the worst thing that can happen is that your feelings and opinions and all that really get mixed into the other person's. So you don't want to be judgmental at all when you go into something, so you have to have a clean slate. And then for me, it's weird. It's like zings in your spidey senses. You know, it's like, okay, I've got a hit. And I can tell that, you know, it's a feeling in the back of my neck. Quite often I'll feel it even on my skin. I know you guys go through that too. We call them angel bumps sometimes, or goosebumps. It's just a energetic surge, like, oh, okay, I've got it there. Also, to just be able to speak fluidly. You know, it's a matter of just kind of go, 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 and let it come. And generally, that's when you know you're in a stream of things. It comes, so you let
mm-hmm.
it go. I will use different things like cards. So, and I know you guys have them too. You know,
mm-hmm.
we all kind of
right.
have multiple decks of oracle cards. We all use dowsing. So, you know, we have certain tools that we can implement, but I know all three of us don't need those tools to be able to do readings. One thing I do want to bring up is, if you are using oracle decks or tarot decks, is to clear those decks, which some people don't know that. You know, like with anything that is materialistic, it can absorb energy. It's called psychometry. And so you don't necessarily want to be picking up the energy from the last reading that you did using a deck of cards. So it's actually important to clear them. So would you guys mind if I told people what to do with their deck of cards to keep them clear?
Go ahead.
No, that's a great suggestion, Elaine. Go for it.
Good. So what I do, and again, Doreen Virtue pretty much teaches all of her classes to do this, is you take your deck, and I'm doing a deck right now, and you knock on it three times. Now, a lot of times if it's a quick reading and you've got a bunch of people behind you and you need it to be clear, that might be enough, you know, just three kind of hard knocks. If you really have been using them a lot, like tomorrow I'm going to be doing a spirit fest, so I'll be reading people one right after another. After that whole festival is done, it needs a thorough clearing. So it'll be the three knocks, and then you palm each card. So you take each card separately, let the fingers kind of run down the face of the cards. You don't have to be looking at what the picture is. And just go through the whole deck like that, one at a time, just putting them into a pile. Then shuffle the cards and then fan them out in your hand. So everybody can, you know, kind of picture how you would do that. Then hold it over your heart. As you're holding it over your heart, you breathe in divine light. Generally, I breathe it in through the crown of my head and feed it then into those fanned out cards. And then from the fanned out cards, you breathe it into your heart. Now, when you breathe it back in, then you actually take that excess energy and send it down through your body and out through the soles of your feet and into the heart of Mother Earth. So now you've taken out any, you know, energetic debris that might have been stuck on those cards. And then you just continue for a couple more breaths of just breathing in and out divine light through the crown of the head into the cards, from the cards into your heart, back and forth, back and forth. And then they should be nice and energized and clear. Give them a good shuffle and then go ahead and pick your cards. And I myself always do the picking. So I know some people actually have people like pick their own cards out from the deck. Generally, I will always do that myself so that the other person's energy isn't on it. You know, then I would have to actually clear them even more so because someone else touched them. So, you know, I'm fairly sensitive to picking up people's energy from what they've touched. So, again, I keep these cards pretty much I'm the only one who's touching them. If I'm doing a reading and somebody actually needs to see the card up close or whatever, of course I'm going to let them do that. But generally, yeah, I want it to be clear. Then when it's all done, the cards are cleared. I put them back into their box or pouch or whatever I'm storing them in, and then I stick a crystal on top, just a quartz crystal, and they are good to go. So it's kind of just maintenance for the tools that you are using. So
that's great, Elaine. That. What do you think about other methods of clearing? Like the ones that you do with crystals, like perhaps, you know, storing them with a piece of selenite or, mm-hmm. you know, putting them out under the full moon to recharge, that kind of thing. What do you think about those methods?
Oh, I think it's perfect. As far as the cards go, yeah, you could store them on top of a piece of selenite for sure, a piece of selenite or a piece of kyanite or a piece of tourmaline. They'll all do the same kind of thing. I don't necessarily, but I use that method even more so with my crystals themselves.
Right.
So, yeah, which I think a lot of us probably do. I had posted on my page the other day to remind people to go around and actually dust your crystals off. Because you guys are probably a lot like mine. I have crystals everywhere. They're all over my house, in almost each and every window of the house, too. And every now and then, they really like some personal attention. Go around, dust them off, give them a quick little bath, you know, and it doesn't necessarily have to be salt water. Sometimes they just like a little shower and a little tempered water, and that's great. So that's a nice way to clear your space, and that will actually help you with your intuitive readings, too, is, you know, keeping your space clear and energized, which, you know what, I don't know that we've actually touched on that. If you are a person who is doing readings, actually setting up your space to be able to do readings even more accurately. So what would you guys say about that?
Well, as you know, I don't do those kind of readings. I'm in my office
right.
with a person on my table, or I'm via Skype dealing with a client. So I don't, you know, I make sure my office is free of clutter and
That's
that I'm
it.
Surrounded by things I like. Clutter, I'm going
right.
to put that in quotes because sometimes my office gets pretty horrific. but I don't, you know, do any special things necessarily for my office space.
Do you ever smudge it?
No, you know, it's funny. I don't. First of all, I'm a minimalist, so I everything is very modern in my house. I do not have crystals sitting around everywhere. And I don't like the smell of smudging. It really bothers me. I do space clearing if I feel that it's been particularly intense in any kind of situation like that, but I don't smudge. I just don't like the smell.
Yeah.
I do burn incense. I like Naga Champa a lot. But,
okay, that does the exact same thing as smudge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it
does. And with clients,
it's just
I
smell
have a
preference.
Going. Also, I like the
candles.
Himalayan salt lamp.
Yeah, the
candles, same thing. They are great. They are great. I generally always have one going within my house. What about you, Dana?
I'm on the same bandwagon as Mimi about the smells, but in fact, I don't even like incense, so I don't smudge. What I do have is a specially designed scalar ring that I can put in a space and activate it, turn it on. It actually can plug in and become even more amplified, and that does a lot to clear a space. If you're going to ask me about what scalar rings are.
I was just going to bring that up for our listening.
I'm prepared to go
people.
Into the physics of that, but it's this particular piece of work is designed by a former NASA astrophysicist. And they create a field energy that is space clearing.
Yes.
And that's,
yes.
that's a very simplistic way to put it, but that's the best way to understand it, I think.
I would have people listen to our EMF show. So if you go on to Mystic 3 Radio under iTunes, under podcasts, you can actually find our broadcast on EMFs and all that. And we have mentioned about the scalar. Different items, actually, not even just the rings, but different items to help to clear the space. So for me, guys, you will walk into my house. There's crystals everywhere. I do smudge. I do burn candles. I don't burn incense quite as much as I used to. I have Himalayan salts going, and you know what? I have stuff everywhere, but things – so I'm – so not a minimalist. I do have a lot of things everywhere, but those things all are they're for a reason, you know. So I have lots of it's more like a gentleman's library, I guess, kind of is what my house is like, or a wizard's workshop. Let's put it that way. It's kind of like a wizard's workshop. I clear the space a lot with energy work. Again, everything that is there is generally for a purpose. I do not like clutter. So clutter is something that I don't have, but I do have lots and lots of things, and those things actually inspire me with my reading. So I make sure that, you know, wherever I'm at and I'm doing the reading, that I am comfortable. And I also make sure that my clothing is appropriate for doing the readings. I find that I can totally snuff out my energy field if I have high-content polyester kind of garb on. So I try to go for natural kind of clothing.
Yes, me too,
and
actually. That's a good mention.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, because it will just snuff your whole energy body down. So, you know.
Sometimes I actually have to take my shoes off, interestingly
yes.
enough.
Yes. Yes, no, that's, like, perfect. Yes. Quite often, you know, you just have to have your feet out there. Now, that's another thing, though. If my feet are cold, because I've, you know, need to untuck them, I am a mess. So temperature-wise, I have to be comfortable whenever I'm doing a reading. Like, okay, so tomorrow, it's like I said, it's a big festival that I'll be doing, and it's inside of a hotel. There will be AC on, I guarantee.
Yeah.
You know, it just it wipes me out. And what do? Tell the hotel, turn your AC off? So, you know what? Yeah, and I don't know how to get around that, honestly. I will have stuff on my table that will try to help me, you know, feel at home where I'm at. But I'll be giving a lecture too. And honestly, if I am cold and uncomfortable and my head is buzzing because of the AC, I have a hard time delivering. You guys are probably the same way because honestly, we're all just like really sensitive to energy. Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm sure with my outfit it'll look really cute. For there's Elaine, her shoes are off, and now she's got some big woolly socks on. You know, that'll be a nice look in front of everybody. The whole thing, you know, if I was just sitting at a table, it'd be different. But you know, you want to dress appropriately and all that, and it is by the ocean. So that is the only saving grace because the salt air helps to take away the effects of the AC. I don't know if we'll be able to have doors or windows or anything like that open. And I'm just going to, you know, keep my fingers crossed on that, that we can actually open up some windows because the salt air helps to wipe away or balance out the ions that are in the atmosphere. So the AC puts out positive ions, which you don't want, and the salt ocean air actually brings in negative ions, which you do want. So it kind of balances that out. So I'm keeping my fingers crossed for some nice balanced ionic atmosphere. I need your ring, Dana. That would be nice.
And woolly socks.
So that should be interesting. What else can we talk about as far as, oh, I know.
I have a story.
Tell a story, please.
So this happened to me with a client last Friday, and I think it kind of illustrates remaining open and curious as part of the advice I have for intuitive information, because oftentimes we can try to stick the information we're getting in what we think, you know, where we want to put it versus what's really trying to be said. So, you know, I was just giving him a body talk session, and I've known this person for a really long time, so I understand all his physical ailments. And I sat down and I started the session, and I get like a download of this huge physical picture, and what I was getting was a really distressed stomach lining, high toxicity, overproduction of bile, pancreatic issues. I was getting this whole picture, and I looked at him and I said, because this is not his issue, right?
Okay.
And I said, I don't understand. Are you having, you know, acid problems? Is your stomach bothering you? Because the picture I got would have been pretty distressed. Like, this person would have been in a lot of discomfort and nausea, et cetera, at the very least. And he said, no, nothing wrong with my stomach. And then he launched into maybe a few years ago he had heartburn one day or something like that.
Oh, geez, yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know what to say. What's going on here? And I told him sort of the picture. And he goes, well, my cat has been vomiting and is very ill.
Oh, my.
Oh.
So, you know, I I asked, and sure enough, I was working on his cat, which ended up connecting to a bunch of things that are going on for him emotionally, the client. Yeah. But I've never sat down and had information come to me like that. You know, so that's a good illustration,
cat, yeah.
I think. Yeah, a good illustration,
you know,
is sort of not, I didn't turn around and say to him, well, there's something wrong with your stomach.
Right, exactly.
You know, this has to be about you.
Right.
And ultimately it
right.
was. It was an interesting session. But it just made me giggle that I
and
ended up
honestly,
working on it.
As you help the cat, you're going to help him. Because,
yeah.
you know, again, we're back on the animal thing, but we
yeah.
know if your animal is sick, it makes you sick. You know, if you are sick, it makes the animal sick. We have this bond that, you know, you can't not look at. So,
yeah, I mean, it turned
know,
out it had a lot to do with how my client handles overwhelm or doesn't handle overwhelm, and how the cat,
mm-hmm.
in turn, also gets overwhelmed and
yeah.
anxious.
Oh, the poor baby.
Yeah. But so remain open and curious.
Exactly.
I was thinking, I'm going to have to get up and leave the room and start again and clear my, I'm like, what is going on?
yeah. But you were on the money. You were on the
right.
money. So good,
yeah, that's
good
the other
for
thing
you.
Is you have to kind of allow and go with the information you get rather than argue with it. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Even if the
we
person on the other end isn't validating,
right.
Like you said, you have to have confidence in what you're getting and keep exploring it. And like you said, stay open and curious, and you'll get to where the guidance is asking you to go.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really
I've had that happen
thing to do.
So I've had that happen so many times in front of like a group reading that I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the one person that you're talking to is like totally, I don't understand that. Nope, I don't get that. Nope, I don't get
right.
that. And then it's, you know, like a week later, oh, my God. So, you know, it's okay. So you may never find out that you were on the money.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not real often that they will call you up and say, you were great. You know, I've had people come to me years later and go, oh, my God, I never told you, but, and it's like, oh, my, oh, okay, well, can we broadcast that so that I don't look
yeah.
like an idiot? You know, it's like, that would be actually really nice if people knew that. So you're right. You just have to go with your gut. Whatever is coming up, comes up.
Yeah, and I think it's
that.
A lack of attachment to the information that you're delivering so that you don't get yourself
yeah.
in a twist about being right or wrong, because
exactly.
you know, sometimes you're not going to be right, and it's okay.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. Well, you know what? When you are interpreting images, you know, symbols, images, feelings, smells,
right.
A sound that's running through your mind, you yourself may interpret it wrong.
That's
you know,
right,
the language,
we all have filters.
That's right. So we might just not, you know, whatever is trying to communicate to us, maybe speaking with an accent. Maybe that's the way to look at it. It's speaking with an accent, and we can't really interpret it exactly. So we have to get as close as we possibly can and deliver it as well as we can. So, you know what I would love is a reading. How about a reading from you guys for Elaine?
All right.
Woohoo! Go for it.
What's up? Because, you know, I don't do readings like that.
I know. It would be lovely for let's have Mimi give Mimi kind of a reading.
All right.
I'm open.
Do you have anything
I'm a book.
Do you have anything you want me to focus on? How are your eyes? I don't want to get too super personal.
It's all right. I don't care if you get
okay.
personal. It's fine. Yep. Eyes. are generally always an issue, although I will say that they are getting a little bit better. Yay.
Good.
So, yep. So, just go for it. Focus in, and what's up with Elaine?
You a little stressed?
Well, not really.
You have
a
lot of prep to do for the thing tomorrow?
No, it's just a matter of if there's any stress at all, it's because Elaine will be going in there and winging it like usual. So,
yeah
I guess a little performance anxiety, which happens all the time.
Yeah, because I'm getting that your adrenals are running a little...
heightened?
Yeah, a little heightened. It's noradrenaline, so that's the first thing that came up, was to balance that body chemistry.
Mm-hmm. And stop drinking the cup of coffee that I got going.
Yeah, coffee is hard on the adrenals.
It is, and I do have a cup going right now.
Although noradrenaline, hold on.
Okay.
Okay,
you can
so
hear
this is
the
interesting.
Wheels turning. Okay.
So let me see if I can try to explain this. I'm to balance the pituitary to the adrenals because, and this is connected to the subtle sense of sight. There's some way in which the pituitary is being stressed by your use of sight right now. Which is interesting, given that your natural sense of sight is sort of suffering right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
let's
that's also linking
that
to the
more.
Crown chakra.
Okay.
Yeah, we can explain this in a second. So your crown chakra sort of wants a tune-up, and that's in regards to how it's receiving information also, so that your body doesn't get as stressed. And we've done this before, I think, but this has got a slightly different angle to it in regards to how you're physiologically challenged just in your eyesight in general. And I want to say it's as if your crown is just too open. And I know that that's kind of a vast statement to make, considering you certainly probably don't want to narrow it, but it's like the noise needs to be calmed down a bit because it's jangling you.
Actually, that makes tons of sense.
Okay.
Tons.
So I'm going to go ahead.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and do my crazy balancing so that... You can go ahead and talk while I'm doing it.
I was just
going to
say, don't wipe me out for the show, all right? I have had sessions she's done sessions, and all of a sudden I am on the couch for like 2 hours. And, So, none of that, please.
Actually, I think this has a lot to do with your concern about the air conditioning and just the environment there. Being able to filter out those disruptive energies so that you can just be clear and calm down.
Well, also, too, I will be in a room where it will be full of other readers.
Yeah.
And so that gets a little bit of jangling, too, because all those readers are tapping into something different. And there's a ton... You know, most of the readers are mediums also. So talk about a full room. It's just full.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's...
Okay, you're all set.
It is. Oh, good. Thank
you. And hopefully
you
don't get sleepy at all.
I'll let you know. So thank you, Mimi.
You're welcome.
Yeah, cool. That was a little bit of, you just heard Mimi doing some body talk, and that is a lot of what she does. And it's she'll explain it all to you if you don't understand it. I think our audience probably just pretty much understood everything that you just said, Mimi.
Yeah, so, I mean, if there was anything that you needed clarification, or Dana, if you had any questions about what I was saying, we can talk about it further. But I think that was pretty...
Straightforward, yeah. All right, so, Dani, you got a reading for me?
Dana.
Where is she?
Don't know. Maybe she put herself on mute?
Yeah, I'm here. I was muted.
Where the hell is the mute button?
I coughed and then forgot to unmute myself. So when Mimi was talking, I was kind of following along and just seeing some things in my own mind. And when she mentioned, I love your process, Mimi. I really do. It's so fascinating.
I do too.
It's so lovely to hear. But what I was feeling was kind of like this, and seeing was like almost from the crown down, just forming this purple kind of flowing tent, this diaphanous tent all around you, kind of like a barrier. Seeing you in this room with all those people, but having this kind of like diaphanous tent around you that was keeping out all that other stuff. So I don't know if what you were doing, Mimi, was helping her, you know, seal off all that other things coming in, but I kind of had a vision of this tent around her.
It wanted to be filtered, not blocked by any means, but just so that the noise was toned down.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I will tell you what's funny about that, Dana, because my daughter and I, every time, you know, she's leaving in the morning, I'll say, I love you, and then pick a color, you know, like today, I'm like, aqualite all around you. Because of, you know, the kind of work that she does. And she'll do the same thing back to me. And she was like, oh, you know, love you too, Mom. Have a great day. Violet light all around you. So she wrapped me this morning in beautiful violet light.
Oh,
so,
there you,
you know,
go.
It's funny. Yeah, so you could
have
very much been.
I was wondering if it had to be something with clothing, too, with clothing or something that you were wearing or planning to wear, because it felt like just this tent, almost like a huge, like, layered skirt, you know, really diaphanous skirt all around you, just protecting you.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what I have picked out to wear, I may not be able to wear because it's supposed to be cold, but it's actually... a nice kind of, what's a good description of it? It's a pink, very rose-ish color, long skirt. It's a whole one-piece dress kind of thing. And then I actually have, it's a little bit more mauve-colored, 100% silk tank that's going over it that has all this beadwork on it, you know, like an Indian print, but it's all done with bead in the front and the back. And I will tell you that shirt was Doreen Virtue's. It was literally hers.
It literally belonged to her?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So
okay.
I planned on wearing that tomorrow. She was actually cleaning out her closet one time when I was in Hawaii. So she was getting rid of some clothes. And I really liked the shirt. So
I was going to say, Elaine, you've taken stalking
shirt
to a new level.
I went to her closet and I pulled it out. No, she was doing some house cleaning herself. So, and again, I really liked the shirt. So now the shirt is mine. I have Doreen Virtue's shirt. And it is, you know, kind of a mauve-ish, purplish color. So spot on. Spot on. Very good. Very good.
The other thing I wrote down when you said reading Elaine was, and I don't know why this is with me, but for some reason grandparents like to talk to me. If I do any mediumship,
yeah.
generally get grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why, but it just happens. And I got an impression of your grandmother on your mother's side.
Okay.
And I couldn't quite pin exactly what she was trying to say, because I was listening to the conversation as well. But I wrote down the word green, and I don't know if that has any meaning. And then there was something about legs. And then I thought maybe she was saying something about eating green foods, that you needed to eat more green foods today, because that was the time that Mimi was talking about your adrenals. And maybe being a little bit on the performance anxiety side.
Okay, so you're saying greens, not grains, right? Greens?
Well, at first it felt like the color green, but then when Mimi was talking about the adrenals, I wondered if maybe it would have to do with the greens. But now I'm going back to her saying it has to do with the color green.
Oh.
Was she Irish?
Okay.
Did she? What's that?
Yeah, there's Irish on that side of the family. My grandmother was actually more of German descent, but there was some Irish in there. But my grandfather, who she was married to, was very much Irish. So there is Irish in there.
Hmm.
In that,
yeah, I don't
that,
know why the word green was coming through.
Well, you know what? Green is the healing color. The color of Archangel Raphael. So that may have a whole lot to do with it. You know, green in general is really much for healing.
Do you have something of hers that's green? A necklace or something, or a piece of jewelry, or?
Oh God, I got a lot of stuff. Off the top of my head, I can't think. But I actually have even some vintage clothing from them, too. So it could be that.
It feels like it's going back to the clothing again, maybe.
It could be.
Hmm.
It could be.
Yeah.
So maybe now, because if it's going to be cold, maybe I need a green wrap over that outfit that I was talking about. Green. Why else would green come up? You know, my grandmother was actually towards the end of her life. She was kind of sickly. And it was never actually diagnosed what was going on with her. So it could have to do with that. She really hated doctors, hated going to the hospital, even though she wound up in the hospital when she actually passed away, but she had all three of her children at home. She hated doctors that much. So we never actually really found out really specifically what was going on with her. You know, the thought was that perhaps there was colon cancer, but she kind of wasted away. So, in hindsight, looking at it and knowing more now, I would say that she probably had celiac or something like that going on, and she was wasting.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely wasting.
Right.
So
well, certainly
it's
the grain.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
did she have problems with
grandma.
Her legs too?
She really didn't walk very well at the end, yeah.
Yeah.
She didn't go out for walks or anything. She would pull up a chaise by the window and kind of be there all day. So, yeah, she did have problems walking at the end. Oh.
Because yeah, there was weird legs that came into it. But, yeah, I don't know. She seems to have had a particular affection for you.
Oh, how sweet. How sweet. Now, my
and she,
grandfather.
I'm feeling like that the grandfather
Mm-hmm.
Did also, although maybe he wasn't very demonstrative or able to communicate that to you.
Okay. If you swapped them around,
okay.
You've got it spot on.
Swapped them around.
It was a little harder for her because of the, you know, German background and really pretty stoic about things. They were a little bit more cut and dry. However, my grandfather, he was a riot. He absolutely, I was his favorite, and he was very demonstrative, and, you know,
okay,
it was a great...
yeah.
Yep, there you go. There you go.
So she loved you,
yeah,
but she wasn't able to show it, but he was
right.
He was better at it. Great, yep.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
Pretty much
so you've got it, but you know what? They were a unit, so sometimes
yeah,
when
I
you
get
a unit like that,
bringing him in real tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice reading. Nice reading. Any one of you guys would you like a reading?
I'll tell you what. If you
what?
Could, if you could. If somebody could bring in maybe you, Elaine. I keep hearing the past couple days. I go by the name Dana, but when I was raised, I was given the name Deborah. And over the past 2 days, I've heard somebody in my head calling my name, saying Debbie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, I heard
name.
It. Yesterday morning around 22:09, and then I heard it in the middle of the night last night, clear as day, a female voice saying in my head, Debbie.
How do you
when
feel
you
about
went
the name Debbie?
Right.
I don't use it anymore. I'm not fond
yeah,
of
is it punitive?
Is it punitive? I'm not, I don't know what you mean by that, I'm sorry.
Like, was it used in, like, you know, Michelle Marie, get your self inside the house and clean your room, kind of way?
it was just, I think, what everybody called me, but
okay, so
yeah.
You don't
wasn't.
Have, all right.
So
yeah.
What I am actually picking up is that it's somebody who you went to school with, in the very early grades, who called you that? And I believe that they recently passed. So do you have someone recently who you've heard through the grapevine that you knew when you were young that has passed?
I don't, but I was wondering if it was someone who called me Debbie that recently passed.
And that's what I'm picking up. And,
yeah.
Oh, all right. So... I just got a name, too. Lisa? Lisa? Lisa?
Hmm.
Schoolmate.
Schoolmate. Not really close with anybody that was a schoolmate that called me Debbie anymore. It was kind of
they
a different life.
They would have called you Debbie way back when.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't necessarily, it's not somebody who you've been in a lot of touch with as you got older and switched your name to Dana, but it's somebody that you knew back then. And the name that sounds like Lisa or something like that, it begins with an L. It can always be a first name or a last name.
Ah, okay. Any idea why they're trying to get my attention?
Well, I just pulled cards on it, too, for you. It's weird. They're actually telling you to, you need to nurture yourself more to be able to choose peace. God, was this possibly... You know, it's weird because what comes up is actually the mother, wife, and sister-daughter card. Okay, so it means a female that's actually close within that area. I'm getting like a schoolmate.
Could it be a cousin, do you think?
It could be. But
that's an impression I kind of felt, although I haven't heard anything about a cousin who's passed.
Well, wait a minute. Maybe I need to actually shift this right now. Is there a mother of a schoolmate who just, and it might be somebody who maybe you don't, that you're not really tied with right now, but you may still know this person. Again, we've got to go back for when you were actually in school. All right? This could be the mother of the schoolmate, which is why I'm getting, you know, the mother or wife, mother, sister, somebody that you know. Somehow the name Lisa, or it begins with an L, is tied in with it. That person related to that person has crossed over. Somehow, I think that they're coming through because you need to talk to that person about nurturing themselves and to try to make peace with it. The reason that they're coming to you is because of the spiritual law of attraction, which tells me that the person that they're looking to deliver the message to is somebody who's very much like you. And because of what you do, that's why they're coming to you, because you can actually deliver. Did you roller skate when you were a kid?
Yeah, some.
Yeah?
Like little girls do. I mean, I wasn't an avid roller skater, you know, but yeah, I did roller skate.
Okay, was there somebody when you roller skated that you actually spent a bit of time with, or somebody who actually came out one time and helped you when you slipped and fell?
Oh, that's interesting. Don't know.
That's what I'm actually seeing. You know, almost like the Kool-Aid mom, you know, she was kind of sitting out on the porch or something and watching as, you know, kids skated around. And so it had to have been one of her children that were out there. And you also took a spill, and she came out and helped. Now, it's possible her name was Lisa.
Okay. Well, we'll have to float that around and give it some thought. I don't have real clear memories of childhood friends and companions and mothers and the names of those people and anything like that anymore. So that's almost like another life.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we're going into, is that it's a strange thread that got pulled.
Growing up was pretty stressful for me, and lived in a stressful environment, and so I didn't form a lot of lasting memories, at least on a conscious level.
Roller skating.
Yeah,
interesting.
I had a friend named Lisa I roller skated with. Just saying.
Here we go.
Here we go. Well, you are on the other end, aren't you?
There
you
we
are.
Go. Mamie,
have you spoken
this is for
to
Mamie.
That person?
No. Since I was like 9.
Oh my God, that's around the age that I'm seeing too.
This is funny because this is like your cat story. This is like your cat story,
yeah.
Mimi.
Yeah, I know.
No kidding.
Talking to me all about it, but it's about you.
I don't remember calling, but we used to do these whole shows. Like, we'd choreograph, and it was in her. There were 3 of us, and we would go into one of their garages, and yeah,
and do this whole show.
Yeah.
Did the last name begin with like an MC?
And I wouldn't. I don't know. She had bright red hair. This is what I remember of her. I'm like Dana. I don't. I'm always amazed. My husband remembers everybody's name, first and last, of anybody he's ever encountered his entire life, it seems like. And I'm just like, no.
Uh-huh.
She she had bright red hair, and she had a brother, and it was a Mormon family. And I stopped playing with them because the two of them, the other gal's name was Noelle, and they were Norwegian. They went great distances to cut me out and leave me out, so I got mad. That's my story.
Oh. Okay, so what's weird, though, is that I want you both to think about that story, because this is one of those things where I think it's a cleidon,
mm-hmm.
which means
yeah.
it has to do with both of you. And so people trying to come through, I think associated with that, you're going to find that somebody just passed over and that they're actually trying to give you a message. And I think that the message that comes from that is more about choosing peace. And that would be very appropriate for what you're bringing up, Mimi, is like, you know, I didn't talk to them. I stopped talking to them because they kind mm-hmm. of cut me out type thing. So, you know, it's weird because even at 9 years old, you can kind of, you know, you can carry that around in a weird kind of way.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's funny. I haven't thought about that. And it's just when you said roller skating, immediately they popped into my head. I remembered them as a personal instance of one of the first times I was crystal clear and in my power in dealing with something. So
that's good.
Yeah, I remember, because the way that I remember feeling like this incredible, I was very proud of myself the way I dealt with it. So that's kind of my connected memory in terms of that. But, you know, it's just typical kid stuff. They were just doing typical what girls do.
Especially around that age.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mimi, is there a situation in your life where you need to apply that right now? That personal power lesson?
Oh, probably. Everywhere.
It just came to me when you said that there's some place in your life right now that lesson needs to be applied. I don't. So
yeah.
Now, Dana, the same thing could be said with you, though. As you listen to her story, does it trigger up any memories where this reading can actually be applied, because it started out with your name being called, but a name
right.
that you haven't used probably, you know, since around that time of that whole 9 years old and shifting and changing. So do you
yeah.
believe that even when you gave up the name Deborah, that you claimed your power?
Oh, I think it's part of it, yeah. And the people the family that I have, and there's not a lot of them that still call me Debbie. There's difficult relationships with them, which may be the need to stand in my own power needs to be applied to.
The reason that I asked if you had a sort of a more negative connotation to the name Debbie was because the thing that popped into my head around that for you was your mother.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she called me Debbie or Deborah when she was angry, but
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Although later in her life she was the only family member that tried to acquiesce to calling me Dana because she knew I preferred it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So even though she gave, and she specifically gave me the name, my father wanted to name me something else, but she wanted to name me Deborah. And she was really the only family member that would ever make the shift towards calling me Dana.
Okay.
But ever has.
Did you stand up to her at one point and say, I need you to call me Dana?
No, I don't think so. I never tried to force it on any family members.
Okay.
She just knew that I used it, and you know, she was used to having my husband all around all the time calling me Dana, and everybody else I knew around me calling me Dana, and I think she just got on the bandwagon out of respect, which was big for her. Really big.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I would suggest that you guys chew on that for a little while and do some hunting to see. Again, a lot has to do with around that age time, way back when, around, you know, that 9, 10, 11 years, friends from there and related to the friends from there. And, again, it came up for both of you, so not just reading you, Dana, but also reading Mimi and having that come up, too. And I do think that there was a last name that started with a Mick. Interesting.
It's possible. Yeah.
Interesting.
I just don't remember.
Well, you said red hair, too, so MC, mm-hmm. You know, it could have been McLaren or, you know, anything, Mick. Red
yeah,
hair.
I remember her mother had, they were that dark-haired and blonde, so he was blonde and she was dark-haired and their kids were redhead.
The milkman. The milkman. So, all right,
you know,
well, this has been...
Elisa Mick, something sounds familiar for me, but like I was saying earlier, I don't remember the names.
Yeah.
And I don't even have any yearbooks from then because my mother just... let them all go at the auction. In fact, my high school yearbooks came up on eBay for sale.
Really?
My own personal high school yearbooks came on eBay for sale.
Did they sell?
I don't know. I asked the guy who had it up for sale because another classmate pointed it out to me to if he would give it back to me, and he was like, "No, if you want it, you have to buy it."
Oh my God!
And I didn't buy it.
Sheesh.
I didn't buy it, so I don't know where it went. But
how funny.
Yeah.
I would ask another classmate of yours, Dana, if you have any contact with anybody, if they remember Lisa Mick.
Yeah, there's a Facebook group. I could maybe throw it out there.
Yeah, yeah, just to see. And if, you know, they have somebody who just recently died or if they died themselves. But I'm getting a feeling that it's related to them. So trying to deliver a message. Now, once you actually locate it, then you'll probably get more than Debbie or Deborah. You know, you'll get more of a message so
right.
that you can actually deliver that. You could always do some hunting yourself too, Mimi. And
yeah,
see
no.
what happened to, yeah.
No, I mean, that would
who
just
lives
be
in that
impossible.
House? Where's that garage? You know, that whole
Yeah,
that whole
I haven't
thing.
Been
I'm sure
in that. You realize I moved everywhere every year, right?
you had mentioned that before, yes. So
there's no thread
so much
that could
that.
Be followed there.
yeah. Just interesting that it would come up. So I think it's relevant
yeah.
for both of you. Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. I love
yeah,
this
interesting
stuff.
And fun.
Yeah. So that is it for today, gals. We have managed to put another hour of Mystic 3 Radio under our belts. So
yes, everybody's on vacation and couldn't make it at our live time for call-in, so that's too bad. But it was nice to do readings among ourselves and give everybody a little bit of a insight into what we each do individually.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I would just even like to mention, if you are in and around Massachusetts, the Spirit Fest is being held in Hull, Massachusetts at the Nantasket Beach Resort tomorrow from 4 p.m. till 10 p.m. Tomorrow is July 16th. So, and I am Elaine Reed Cole, and you can find me on Facebook and on the Mystic 3 page, and you can reach me at www.thewingedmystic.com. And Mimi?
My website is www.msirfoss.com. spelled SEARFOSS.com, and also, of course, on the Mystic 3 page and on Facebook. And Elaine, have a fabulous day tomorrow. You'll do great.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the purple, and thank you for the, like, clearing. It'll come in handy, I'm sure.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, and Dana?
And I'm at www.danazimmerman.com and on the Mystic 3 radio page and on Facebook as Dana Zimmerman. So really happy that everyone who's listening, probably on replay, came to join us. If you have any questions that you'd like us to answer, our Facebook page is open, and just pop on there or contact one of us individually.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you, gals. And until next week, let's keep talking about it. Bye,
bye.
Everybody.
Bye-bye.